We begin reading the Word of God at Genesis 4, verse 1. Hear God's Word. Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to his brother Abel. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. The word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God remains forever. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, as we come now to hear your word, we pray that through it you will speak to our hearts, that we may truly hear the word of Christ. Work therefore in our hearts through my voice, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may see Christ, the Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, as we come to the fourth chapter of Genesis in our study of the book of Genesis, we move forward in this chapter with a description of the human race and its downward spiral into sin. And here in this chapter, we see the frightening consequences of the fall into sin, which was described for us in the third chapter. The story of Cain and Abel illustrates the baseness of sin, which is the godless quest to be liberated from the authority of the highest lawgiver of all, the Lord God. We are confronted in this passage with the grievous sin of Cain. And so look with me at this passage as it describes for us the sin of this man who ultimately would take his brother's life. It begins with a description of the fact that his heart was not right with God. When early on they brought their gifts to the Lord, it is described in this passage that Cain brought some offerings to the Lord, but Abel brought the fat of the flock and the best of the flock to the Lord. Now, many people will say about Cain, well, he did the best that he could. And we come to this part of this passage where it says God rejected his offering, and then people are puzzled at why would God reject Cain's offering? For after all, he did the best that he could. Well, some have suggested that he left out the important aspect of an offering by blood, which of course was what occurred with the offering of Abel. And that may be an interpretation that is acceptable, but I think the text itself gives us a great insight into why God did not accept Cain's offering. It simply says he brought some of the fruits. Some of the fruits of the garden. He was indeed a farmer, and he brought some of the fruits. When it speaks of Abel, it tells us that he brought the best. But Cain brought some of the fruits. It seems that Cain was only interested in bringing a token of worship, a token of the fruits that God had blessed him with. This would indicate that there was in Cain, and as it comes later in this passage, we see it lived out and demonstrated, there was truly a lack of love in his heart for the Lord and a failure on his part to acknowledge the Lord. He came to worship God, but it was mere tokenism, a shallow, hypocritical sham, lip service that did not bring with it the required reverence and worship from the heart. Later, the prophet Isaiah, whose words would be picked up in the New Testament and quoted, Isaiah the prophet says of the people of Israel, "They worship me," the Lord says, "with their lips, but their heart is far from me." I think that's what's going on with Cain when he brought only some of the gifts that he had received from God's hand. It was not the worship of the heart that seeks the face of God. And the worship of the heart that seeks the face of God is that worship which God receives, that worship which God requires, and that worship which now is our privilege through the great sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only when we come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ and through his shed blood and through the offering of his grace do we come before the Lord and are we received by him. Without the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the best offering, our offerings are mere tokens like Cain, mocking God, merely the works of our own hands and unacceptable in the sight of God. But contrast, we see in this passage that Abel brought from the best of the flock, the firstborn, the fat portions, as you see it in verse 4. And we find that the testimony of Scripture is consistent regarding Abel. His heart was right with God. He brought a sacrifice that had become his response to the favor and the grace of God, the means by which he would dedicate himself to the Lord and fellowship with God. And it says that the Lord had respect, or that the Lord received the offering of Abel. Why would the Lord accept or receive the offering that Abel brought? I think it's because Abel brought an offering that testified to the death of a substitute. In order to bring the firstborn of the flock and the fat portions, to get the fat portions, the animal had to die. In other words, he brought a sacrifice. He shed the blood. And throughout the scripture, the shedding of blood is that consistent theme which anticipates the full and final sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed as a sacrifice for our sins. Cain rejected that provision in the sacrifice of the animals that God had provided for Adam and Eve. He clothed them with an animal's skin. He had to shed its blood. Cain rejected that which his brother offered in faith. We find that in Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered a sacrifice that was accepted by God. Faith was that which Abel brought before the Lord. And through faith, in full reliance upon God, he was accounted righteous. Cain was not. What do we see in the killing of this lamb, in the shedding of its blood, in the sacrifice of Abel? Well, by killing that lamb, offering it as a sacrifice to God, Abel was acknowledging at least five things. First of all, he was acknowledging that God was righteous in driving them, that is Adam and Eve and his family, from the Garden of Eden. They had sinned and they were driven from the presence of God. Secondly, this sacrifice, the shedding of the blood of the lamb, if it was a lamb, this sacrifice acknowledged that he was a guilty sinner and that death was his just due. Because every time an animal was sacrificed in the Old Testament scripture, what was the central, most important aspect and meaning of that death? Someone, something had to die. And when the animals were sacrificed, it was an indication that they had to die in the place of the person who sacrificed the animal. Death was constant. And so he acknowledged that he was a guilty sinner, worthy of death. Thirdly, he acknowledged that God was holy and that God must punish sin. Abel couldn't come before God without a sacrifice for his sin. Fourth, he was acknowledging that God was also merciful. Not only is God altogether holy and must have a sacrifice for sin, but God is also merciful, and he accepts the death of a substitute in his place. Ultimately, that is the theology of the entire Bible, the theology of the scripture, the message that Jesus came into this world to be a substitute for sinners. It's the message of the table of the Lord that we celebrate together this morning. It's the message that God sent his Son that he might die in your place for your sin, for my sin, that my sin and your sin might not be attributed anymore to us or accounted to us, as Paul speaks of it in Romans 5, but that God would account the righteousness of Jesus to us and our sin to him, and that in him our sin would be punished and removed from us, and in his righteousness we could stand before God. Abel, by faith, brings a sacrifice that acknowledges the death of an innocent substitute in his place. And then fifthly, he acknowledged that he looked for acceptance with God by means of that sacrifice, and that's the same with us. There is only one means by which we are accepted with God, and that is through what is pictured before us on this table, the sacrifice of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why it says in Scripture, by faith Abel brought a sacrifice that was accepted by God. By faith, he placed the blood of the firstborn of his flock before the Lord and his avenging justice. And by faith, he was received by God. Cain did not join with Abel, and perhaps as well with Adam and Eve, in offering sacrifices pleasing to God. He did not believe. He did not give his heart to the Lord. He did not confess that the Lord had given him everything that he had and that his life was bound up in that covenant relationship between himself and God. He did offer sacrifices, but as we said, he gave something of his own ability, of his own work. And it was as though he could use that to buy God off and ward off the punishment of God by offering him some sacrifices and tokens that he would bring before the Lord. I think it's still the same today. Many would offer God the sacrifice, the token of church attendance. Maybe even putting something in the offering plate, but not what God requires, which we read earlier in the psalmist, who said the sacrifices that God is pleased with are the sacrifices of a broken and a contrite heart. A heart that seeks the face of God. A burning message runs through the whole of Scripture. The Most High God has no pleasure in mere outward forms of worship, but demands the sincere offerings of hearts that are willing to bow before Him in worship. Cain's sin was in that his heart was wrong. Look with me at verse 5. But for Cain and his offering, God had no regard. Now we see the sin develop and the progress of it. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. You know, when your God, not the Most High God, but when your God imagined up here, as Calvin said, our mind is an idol, I-D-O-L, not I-D-L-E, idol making factory. And when we worship the God of our own imagination, we never get angry. Because the God that we create in our own mind, as people do, we're happy with that God. But the God who reveals Himself in Scripture, that's a different case. When this Most High God did not accept the sacrifice of Cain, it says, beginning at verse 5, not only did he become angry, his face fell. And the Lord said to him, why are you angry, and why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, and you must rule over it. And then beginning at verse 8, the scripture recalls how Cain murders his brother Abel. Let's look at this progression of sin. First of all, it begins in his heart. His heart. A heart that was not right with God. A heart that when he sees that his sacrifice is really a lie and it is not accepted before God, he does not confess his sin. He becomes angry. His face fell. He rejected the right thing to do. And God calling to him indicates that Cain should reject the path that he was on, that he should be turning to the Lord. Cain did not take the right course of action, and it was not for a lack of knowledge. God Himself called him to that path of obedience, but it was a lack of humility, a lack of faith, and a lack of obedience. For Cain, confession of sin was demeaning. And then it says he became jealous of his brother Abel. Cain rejected God's grace, and he was angry that Abel was the recipient of it. And when he became inflamed with this jealousy, the premeditation of murder arose in his heart. He plotted it, and then he pulled it off. And we see that in verse 8. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel, and he killed him. Why did Cain kill Abel? I really think it's not really the fact that Abel's sacrifice was accepted, but the fact that Abel was accepted, that Abel was a believer. I believe it's the constant message of Scripture that unbelief and unbelievers hate believers. And there is this antithesis, this difference that exists between those who hate God and those who love God. And if those who hate God see those who love God like Cain, they will seek to kill those whom God shines His favor upon. Cain kills Abel because Abel was a believer. Having renounced God, Cain renounces the image of God in his brother and murders him. And his unbelief and sin does not go unnoticed. Look with me as we see, beginning at verse 6, once again, God asks, why are you angry? Why is your face fallen? He has confronted him. He has called him here to repent. We find the murder taking place in verse 8, and then in verse 9, God says to Cain, where is Abel your brother? This is a very condensed version. the writer of Genesis, Moses, no doubt, he condenses this. He doesn't give us a lot of facts. He just says Cain killed his brother, and then the very next verse says God called to him. He is calling our attention to this interaction between God and Cain to show the mercy and the grace of God. Cain could have called out to God in confession and in repentance at this very point and sought the mercy of God. The question is designed throughout to call to repent, but Cain, further hardening his heart, does not repent, but plays a rather absurd game with God, playing at innocence and denial of responsibility. He says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" God did not ask him, "Where is your brother?" because God did not know where his brother was. God asked him, "Where is your brother?" to bring to his heart a desire to repent. But what we find is the horror of sin is revealed in this passage. Cain hardens his heart, and hardening it against God's grace, he further removes himself from God, and finally God places his curse upon him, a curse which is twofold. The earth would no longer produce its yield, or would yield its harvest for him, but also that he would be a wanderer, a vagabond, someone who would wander the earth. And God brings this against Cain for his sin. Cain complains. He says, "You're driving me from the earth. I'm driven from your presence." But he is more concerned that those who would meet him would murder him. All along, he had opportunity to confess, but he does not confess. He complains. God isn't fair. It's too much for me. Cain is more afraid of social exposure. People who would see him and might do something to him because they would hear the story about him or recognize him, and they would do something to him. And, you know, "That's too much, God," he says. "You're unfair." He was more afraid of that exposure and the possible loss of life than he was of the God who made him and of the God whose law he had broken. He complains the punishment is too great. Yet the punishment is less vigorous than deserved or dealt out to his brother Abel. So often our sin, when we are judged, we think that God is not fair, and we complain if we are judged at all in terms of our sin, if God punishes it. But God punishes the sin of Cain, and he punishes the sin of those who are outside of Christ with justice. And he will fulfill that justice because he is a God who is just and right in all that he does. God's grace, nevertheless, is extended to Cain. For in this last part of our passage, it tells us that he would place a mark upon him, and that whoever would kill Cain would receive sevenfold the punishment that Cain would receive. God is always a God of grace, even to those who have fallen into disobedience and to sin. And that is our comfort in this morning as we come to the table of the Lord. God has come to us. We are no better than Cain. Are we? We are not. Born in sin, our hearts are sinful, despisers of God, according to Romans, haters of God, enemies of God, rebels against the law of God. We stand under the judgment of God, except for the fact that God in grace has come to us in the depth of our sin and shown us that in Jesus Christ there is a sacrifice, there is a Savior, and he has brought us by grace to the Savior. It's all of grace. There is nothing worthy in us that we could bring to God as a token of worship or a token of acceptability that God would accept and say, "Well, you're all right after all. You've had a hard time. You've had disadvantages. I guess we'll just have to let that slide. But thank you very much for what you've done. Nothing, the hymn writer says, in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling, to the Savior, whose death in our place for our sins is the only way to God. Cain, though receiving a great punishment, never was sorry for his sin. But with us, God provides mercy to free us from the tentacles of sin that entrap us and enslave us, and we therefore must rest solely in the grace of God, the Rock of Ages. There is no surer comfort or hope. The only hope is to reject the way of Cain and follow by faith the way of Abel, who was commended as righteous, who by faith brought an offering that was acceptable to God. Let Abel continue to speak to you today. By faith, Abel worshiped God. By faith, let us worship our Lord Jesus Christ and rest alone in Him. Let us pray.